Welcome to the Drupalize Me podcast. It's December 26, 2014. Drupalize Me. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to talk about the D8 Accelerate Fund. And I have with me Holly Ross. Say hello, Holly.
Oh, hello, Holly. Just kidding. Thanks for having me.
And Angie Byron.
Hello.
And we're especially blessed because today this is an all West Coast podcast. So very excited about that. And today we're going to talk about the D8 Accelerate Fund. But first, let's talk about the news in the Drupal world. In the Drupalize Me world, this week we are releasing part 3 of our PHP for Beginners from our partner KMP University. So if you've always wanted to learn some PHP, this is a great series to jump into and start to learn that. On the blog, I've written up my adventures in porting a D7 form module to D8 using the Drupal module upgrader module. And I've written up the first of the series since it was such an epic adventure. There's more to come on that, but this was the first in my adventures in porting a D7 module to D8. And also in the news is what the topic of our podcast today, the D8 Accelerate Fund. So let's kick this off. Let's just start out with the basic question, in case anyone hasn't heard about this yet. What is D8 Accelerate anyway?
Sure. So D8 Accelerate is a program that the Drupal Association is piloting. And the way the program is being run is it's essentially a grant fund of $125,000 of the community's money. And it's set aside towards efforts that help accelerate a Drupal 8 release. So that might be, fixing specific critical issues that are blockers to other work. That might be holding a sprint in a location with a bunch of key contributors to try and make progress on one particular area. There might be some crazy ideas like, I want to, create automated performance testing so we can, ensure that, Drupal 8 is heading down in the performance department rather than up and stuff like that. So, lots of different things. We sort of organize it into two different buckets of money. One that the branch maintainers, or the people who have commit access to Drupal 8, so myself, Dries, Bytart, Nat Catchpole, and Alex Pott, we sort of run that in a sort of a top-down fashion where we say, all right, so of all the, I think there's 90 or something critical issues right now, these 5 are blocking other work, or they're critical to getting the upgrade path fixed or whatever. And sort of like taking the people of the most familiarity with the day-to-day of Drupal 8 and then figuring out, okay, what is there a way we can spend money in these areas to accelerate those particular things? The other pool of money is a community-based grant program where anybody in the community can submit an idea that they want funding for, in order to, accelerate Drupal 8 from something that they want to do. So, things that we're looking at right now are, people holding a Drupal camp and wanting to have a special sprint at their Drupal camp around a specific subset of critical issues. That sort of thing is something that the community can also request money, and then the branch maintainers sort of allocate funds accordingly. So it's kind of an exciting program, I think, because it's the first time that the Drupal Association has sort of done some funding directly, not quite directly, but, basically directly into Drupal core development. This has been a pain point a lot of people have been talking about for a long time where, core keeps getting harder and harder to contribute to. It's hard for people to find time to just give it away and this kind of thing. And it's a way for sort of a centralized fund based on a nonprofit, the official nonprofit of Drupal project, to go ahead and start, putting some funding around core development efforts. And I think people are generally pretty excited about it.
Excellent. So you've kind of addressed this already, but why was this program launched? What problem does it address, or what pain point? You kind of touched on this a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, I guess the couple of things it's solving are, one is that, to get Drupal 8 released, what we need to do is we need to get down to 0 critical issues. And those critical issues are often hard. They're like really meaty, gnarly core issues that have been around forever, and they And they, you know, take a lot of time from very specific people sometimes to solve them. I want to emphasize not all of them are like that. There's plenty of critical issues that are, you know, say documentation missing and this kind of stuff. So, you know, almost anyone can find something you can do. But there are still these ones that are sort of outstanding, and we've had a lot of conversations on how we could possibly help expedite those, given that, you know, almost all core development at this point is done by volunteers or people who work for a Drupal company but do this in their spare time. And I think that's surprising to a lot of people. I think a lot of people think that most of core developers are in some kind of a arrangement with their employer. Like, I personally am in an arrangement with my employer where it is my full-time job to work on Drupal stuff, and I'm very blessed in that way. But I would say that's very much a minority. Most people are still eating out of, you know, night and weekend fun kind of thing and family time in order to get Drupal 8 done. So one of the things that we thought we could do with this grant is sort of help offset some of those efforts and really put targeted funding towards things that make a really big impact in the project. And I think the other thing that, you know, sort of why this was done is the community's played around with various funding models in the past, you know, and continues to do so. You know, there's the Git tip Drupal core team, you know, large scale Drupal program out of Acquia has tried to raise money for various core initiatives. You know, we've had companies in the past paying bounties to people to fix, you know, critical issues in Drupal 7, direct funding to initial, you know, initiative teams, that sort of thing. So it's a lot of different models that people have played with, but we have yet to have a model that is actually, you know, done by the Drupal Association, which is sort of the nonprofit for the Drupal project. It's a US-based nonprofit, so, you know, donations are tax write-offable and stuff I should know more about, but don't. But it's sort of like a different play at the funding model that we haven't tried before. And it's, you know, and we're sort of like, it's through a centralized organization. And then the cool thing about it that I like is that, you know, the Drupal Association itself does what the Drupal Association does really well in these situations. So they handle logistics, reaching out to people, making sure people get paid, you know, like all these kind of logistics problems, and let the community, or in this case, the branch maintainers, do the actual decision making around what to spend on where and that sort of thing. So it nicely removes the Drupal Association from being sort of a driving force in core. And it is able to really make a very big impact in augmenting the efforts of the community in areas that they're not as strong in. Because there's one thing I hate, it's sending emails to people and finding out if they got paid or not. Thanks for handling that for me. That's great.
So who decides what gets funded? So you've talked about the branch maintainer funding. Let's start with that. How does that decision-making process look like? You know, how do they decide which issues are important? Do they nominate people, or do people come forward to get those grants? Or how does that all work?
Sure. I can answer this one too, but then we should let Holly talk pretty soon.
We should definitely.
You're doing great, Angie. Keep going.
Just keep on yammering then. Yeah, so the way it's set up is the branch maintainers, and again, that's the people with commit access to Drupal 8. So Nathaniel Ketchpole, Alex Pott, Dries Bytard, and myself. We are the ones who make the decision on both the top-down funding as well as the bottom-up funding. And the reason for that is because between the four of us, as well as Alex Bronstein and Jess Mirbeau, who also are, you know, part of the meetings and stuff like that we have on this, between the group of us, you know, we definitely have the most day-to-day familiarity with what's happening in Drupal 8 and the full scope of what is happening, what's blocked on what, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. So it was just, you know, we talked about maybe the Drupal Association having some kind of a role in improving these, and at the end it was like, nah, you really need all four of us plus a few other people to figure out, you know, if this thing has actually got the impact that we think it does. So we figured let's just go directly to the source and have those people, you know, make the decision. And so what we do is on the top-down funding model, you know, we sort of pick, you know, we have a sort of a rubric of decision-making that we do, and it's documented under the Drupal.org governance section. I'll get a link that you can put in the podcast. But basically, we employ a number of different questions that we ask about a given issue. So some of those things are things like, you know, does it have a big impact? You know, if it's a normal level issue that's fixing a bug we could fix at any time, it's probably not going to get funded. In fact, it won't get funded. I can just tell you that right now. But if it's a release blocker, so it's a critical bug or task, and especially if it's blocking other people's work or blocking the ecosystem itself. You know, for example, if it's, you know, there's a bunch of contributed modules that aren't able to port because of this problem, this kind of thing. You know, we look at all these kind of things, try to find high impact issues in that way. And then we also look at, like, you know, are the people who are working on this already funded by their employer? If they are, we don't need to use this money on that. So, for example, Acquia has a team in the office of the CTO, and they, you know, get paid full time to fix bugs for core. It doesn't make a lot of sense to spend more money on people who are already being funded. So we look at the individual's circumstances. We make sure we pay individuals and not companies for this work. Mm-hmm. And we also look, like, is this the kind of issue, like, is it going to get fixed on its own, or has it been sitting there for a while and unlikely to get fixed? And then also, do we think if we fund it, it will actually lead to a successful outcome? That's the other thing, because we don't want to send a bunch of money to a bunch of different places and then find out that, you know, that wasn't actually the right person to solve the problem or this kind of thing. And so we, you know, we try really hard to, you know, pick, say, like, the top 10 most critical issues, and then from there whittle down, like, what are two or three of them that we think have a pretty good shot at, you know, making some progress. And so we've sent off an initial request for a couple of issues, and those are in progress right now. As we get things funded, there's a page on the Drupal Association website where we'll be logging, so it's transparent to everyone, you know, what we funded and, you know, who got paid and all this kind of stuff. So, but right now the program literally just kicked off like 3 weeks ago. So we're still sort of getting our feet wet on this thing. So does that help with the who makes the decision?
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Yeah. I would just add one piece to that, which is that I like that, the way that the branch maintainers have set it up is, you know, if they're going to fund someone to work on an issue, the initial grant is just $500 for enough time to dig into the issue. And if it's not solvable in 5 hours, right, to be able to update the issue with what is the next work that needs to be done and an estimate to complete it. So, you know, that just makes sure that, you know, they're being really careful with the fund and not just, you know, giving someone a, you know, $3,500 grant off the bat when, you know, we're not really sure how big the issue is or if this person really is the right person, et cetera. So I really like the way that you guys set that up and think that's good part of the process.
Cool. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely want to be, you know, sensitive to that because, you know, it sounds like a lot of money, but it, you know, it can go pretty fast, especially if you're, you know, we have a lot of work to do if we want to get Drupal 8 released in a timely manner. So we want to make sure the money goes as far as it possibly can.
Well, and it is software development, so.
Yeah.
So that's always on time, right?
Yeah. Always on time.
Accurate estimates. Yeah. Magic happens. Yeah.
I didn't know this was a comedy podcast.
So Holly, from the Drupal Association's perspective, what excites you about this project, about this fund?
So I think for us, right, like our whole mission is to help the community create a better Drupal and get it out there in the world for people to use. So I think for us, it's what's really exciting is that it is a new way for us to grow into that mission more fully. And it's something that we've heard the community talk about repeatedly as they've had discussions around different funding models, like the Git tip model, et cetera. So I do feel like it is a really good chance for us to take a step forward and address a community need. And that's always exciting for me. But additionally, I think in particular, this fits really well with this idea that the association is there to be, you know, an enabling force. And it keeps us out of what we're not supposed to be in the middle of, which is, you know, core itself. You know, hopefully helps make this Drupal 8 release happen even faster. And I think everyone at the association is really passionate about it personally because we are all just as excited as everyone else in the community to get Drupal 8 out in the world. So we're pretty psyched to be able to contribute in any way to that.
Very good. Well, I'm excited about this. So let's shift gears over to the community fund. So is that the bottom-up fund you were referring to?
Yeah, that's the shorthand I say.
Yeah, no, that's good.
Community grants program, I think it's called.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, so who would like to Yeah, what's that about? You mentioned maybe about people who wanted to get together for a sprint to address criticals. What sort of requests are appropriate for that fund?
Sure. Well, so the one thing that is not appropriate through it is the idea of funding your own time to fix some issue. And that confused a lot of people. So I just wanted to kind of touch on that briefly.
Okay.
You could also back me up on this a little. The reason we put that rule in. So we do pay people for their time through the branch maintainer, the top-down sort of funding model. Because in that situation, it's the branch maintainers evaluating an issue, looking at the participants in that issue, basing, you know, their decision on who should do it based on who participated, what they've done, what experience they have, that kind of thing. So the chances of picking the person who's the best person for the job is higher in that model. With a model where anyone could say, I will fix this issue for $1,000, I will fix that issue for $500, as you get into a lot of different kind of problematic scenarios. Like, we don't want some kind of like a Elance style race to the bottom bidding war thing. We don't want to be in a situation where we accept an individual who sounds good on paper, but then it turns out is not actually experienced enough to fix the issue. So we not only spent the initial money for that person to do it, then we also need to spend more money for someone else to come in and clean up their work, that kind of stuff. So it eliminates a lot of issues by not doing that approach. So things that people can do instead of that are, you know, honestly, the floodgates are pretty much open. You know, some things that I think people have been thinking about are, sprints at events, tools improvements on Drupal.org, things like, documentation writing, things like, one grant that's kind of floating around out there is kind of an idea of doing, some kind of a like conflict mediation training, you know, this kind of thing, like, can help like solve interpersonal problems. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know how many of these will actually get funded, right? But those are the kind of ideas I know people are playing around with. And I think that's great. I think anything that people can think of that, you know, it can be strictly related to development, it can be something on the fringes, as long as the only rule is that it has to in some way accelerate Drupal 8. And getting Drupal 8 out in front of people and, getting the release out the door. So we kind of wanted to put that special, bottom-up process in there because, frankly, it's been the same group of us kind of shepherding Drupal 8 for the past 3+ years. We love new ideas on how to make that happen faster, you know. So we thought that this would be a cool way to allow the community that in its, very creative spirit to try and come up with some interesting thoughts around how that could happen. So we don't get overly prescriptive with it. I will say, like, we have to balance, the amount being asked with the impact that we feel that we'll have, these kinds of things. So it's not as simple as you just submit something and we'll approve it. There is a process we go through to, look at those things and evaluate them. But I would say, I'd love to have more things to evaluate there and more things to fund through that program. So.
Awesome. So I think it's worth reiterating. So the Community Request Fund is for projects that are, ideas from the community. They may involve, they need to accelerate DA in some way, but it can't just be like a choose your own adventure, like make your own bounty for an issue as an individual. It needs to somehow, does it need to like involve others? Does it need to be some sort of group activity? Like what, or does the idea itself just need to be more substantive than I'm going to just pick off these issues for $500 a piece? Is that more?
Yeah, I mean, I think part of the reason there's that, you can't set your own bounty for an issue in there is all the reasons that Angie said, but also, goes to sort of a larger question for the project. And it's more about staying away from an area than staying away from an area that we're concerned about than it is, trying to proactively identify what we would like to see, which is part of the gray area here with the community stuff. But let me be more specific. What we're trying to say is that I think one of the things we're very concerned about is that we don't want the granting that goes on to
undermine the volunteerism that goes into Drupal overall, right? So there's two things that are really important. One is that the fund is really focused on the critical issues and not just any issue, right? So we don't want to in any way communicate that somehow Drupal 8 is going to, or any future version of Drupal, will be able to be wholly funded by the association or any other entity. And there's really isn't room for volunteerism in the project anymore, right?
Right.
And then we want to further underscore that by saying, like, you know, volunteer X out there, you can't just apply to get money out of this fund to, you know, to do the work that you're interested in.
Right.
So it more clearly addresses what we don't want to see happen than what we actually do want to see happen, and why it's so difficult for us to necessarily put our fingers on precisely what, you know, what a good community grant application would look like.
You'll kind of know it when you see it. Sort of a thing.
I hate to say that in this community that likes to have, you know, everything spelled out so precisely, but I kind of feel like that's what it comes down to.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is a sort of an idea incubator. Like, okay, people, what do you got? You know, what are your ideas for accelerating Drupal 8? And we're asking because we don't know, and maybe we will know it when we see it or when we try it.
Yeah. And to Angie's point earlier, that's part of what I'm really excited about, is because, you know, there has been a long history of work on the project at this point to get it out the door. And I'm really excited to see what injecting, you know, new ideas from the rest of the community could look like, and how those things might influence core development in the future. So I think it's a big opportunity for the community to think hard and think big. And I don't expect the community grants applications to come in giant waves, because I think this is really a hard problem to solve. But I'm really excited to see what does come in the door and, you know, what we are able to fund with that, and how that might influence core development in the future.
Very good. So funding the fund. So this is a guaranteed amount, but you're also asking for contributions, correct? From DA members, agencies? How is the money going to be raised, or how would you like to see it be raised?
Yeah. So when we first started talking about this program, or an iteration of this program, was in a board retreat, and you know, I think everyone on the board was really committed to the idea of just getting it done and making it happen. And so we all agreed that we would just get it into the budget and do it. At the same time, this was also an opportunity for the board to help make the whole thing go. And I think part of the impetus there is that there are several organizations that, as Angie mentioned, do employ core developers full time, you know, and that's an amazing contribution that they make. And Dries has mentioned again and again that, you know, he's really interested in figuring out how to incentivize the rest of the Drupal business community to give back in what is a reasonable way for them, right? So not everyone can fund a core developer, but perhaps they can help fund the fund that is, you know, moving that core development further along faster. So that was really sort of the idea, was to try to find, you know, put a place in there for more organizations to get engaged in helping make core happen directly. So starting in January, at the end of January, the board and the association will have all the tools in place to help reach out to the business community and help put $62,500, so half of the fund together, is the goal for the board to help fundraise to make the program go.
Awesome. Well, very good. And will individuals also have an opportunity to contribute to the fund through their membership, or do they have to be members to contribute?
No, I was just going to say, I feel like the target audience here is really the Drupal business community for this fund. And of course, anytime, you know, that only funds half of it. So anytime you become a Drupal Association member, you are supporting this and all the other work that the association does with the community. So thank you to all of our current members, and if you want to go renew or join, you can definitely do that now as well on the association website.
Oh, of course. So, like, as a member, your part of your dues goes towards the budget, and part of the budget goes towards this fund.
100%. Yep.
Awesome. Excellent. Excellent. So, how will you measure the success of this program? So, let's say it's a year from now, and let's say Drupal 8 launched. Let's just go there. And
think big, dream big, Amber. Yeah,
I'm just gonna let's just make that hypothesis. And so how will you, do you have some specific goals? Like, how will you know if this has been a success or not? Is it just a measure of like joyous proclamation versus grumbling, or is there actual like, oh well, we got the criticals down to zero, and out of those, a certain percentage were funded by the D8 Accelerate Fund? Or do you have you thought about that at all, about how you might measure the success or not so success of this program?
Yeah. Oh yes, definitely.
Yeah. So, like, from the branch maintainer perspective, one of the things that we're doing is I pasted a link in Skype, but there's a page on Drupal.org that sort of tracks our velocity against critical issues. So it talks about, you know, the number of incoming versus outgoing criticals. What we would expect is, you know, not this month, obviously, because it's December and it's got right up. Although that sprint that happened against 2 weeks ago, like, rocked the face off the earth. So that was awesome.
Nice.
But what we would expect to see in starting in January is we'd expect to see the velocity around these critical issues fixed improved. I think this is only one metric, though, because a lot of what we're going to be funding is not... You won't be like, and then we went from fixing five criticals a week to 10. It'll be more like we fixed those five that we're going to take another year to fix without funding. So it's only one measure that we're using. But what we're hoping is by injecting some targeted funding around some of the critical issues, we can help build momentum in other areas. So the velocity of critical issue fixing is definitely one area.
But in theory, you address those criticals and it helps clear the path for a bunch of other issues to be addressed as well, right?
Exactly. Because
those yep. criticals block other things. So,
yep.
And it's not a perfect measure. Obviously, we can't say it's like 100% causal, but it's probably the best metric that we have.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. So, thinking about wrapping up, are there any other like frequently asked questions or concerns that you've heard about keeping the spirit of volunteerism in this project, or any other sort of concerns that you would like to kind of address or
Yeah, I've definitely heard that concern voiced, and I think it is something to be very mindful of whenever you inject money into a community like this. But the fact is that money has already been being injected into the community for right. core development, even as far back as like when I was release manager for Drupal 7, you know, there were companies that were paying core developers to work on issues, critical issues and stuff like that. But they were companies, so they didn't have to be transparent about their reporting. So one thing I really like about this is that it's going to make it a lot more obvious to the community at large, the money that's already kind of changing hands. You know, at Acquia, we've done direct funding of core developers. You know, I know Examiner did some funding back in the day in Drupal 7. So, like, I think to me, this isn't necessarily, I mean, it is definitely injecting more funding, but I think it is also just more or less doing a lot of what has already been going on for years. And if anything, it's just going to make that work more transparent to people and give, you know, better visibility into how our community actually works. So I'm hopeful that this won't have, you know, there's many, many train wreck stories of other communities where, you know, you pay, you know, a couple of core developers full time, and then when the money runs out, you know, they leave and everyone else is mad because they didn't get paid. And we really tried to set up this fund in such a way that the money gets spread out a lot. And we try and insulate ourselves as much as possible from sort of the really negative politics kind of stuff and burnout things that could be associated through funding. But we'll see. It's very new. So
yeah.
We can have this podcast again in a year and talk about how, oh, Angie, remember when you were young and naive and you believed all this crap? Yeah. But I do feel like, to the best of our ability, I honestly feel like we have tried our best to insulate the use of these funds from causing the same types of problems that have wreaked havoc in other open source communities. But I guess that's what I would say about that.
Yeah, I mean, when it comes to money, transparency is the best possible thing that you can do, especially in a community project, but anywhere really. And hopefully that will help alleviate any concerns, or if concerns happen, you can see right in front of you, like, well, this is what exactly happened. You know, this is how the money was spent, and you can address that and have that conversation in an open and transparent way. So that goes a long way for conflict resolution. So
we're sure trying.
Yay.
I think that to me is, like, that's really important for all the stuff that the association does is, I know that we, I just think as we work through things with the community and try to increase our transparency over time with everyone, it's really important for me, for everyone to feel like, you know, whether you agree or disagree with the approach that's being taken, like, let's all remember that the intention is really good, right? Like, we're mm-hmm. trying to do something good here. So if it ends up having an unintended consequence, like, we definitely want to sort those things out and we'll be looking for those. But as Angie said, I really feel like what this just takes is sort of takes an underground economy that was already happening and helps put it out there in a more public way. So I don't think we'll see a lot of unintended consequences, but it'll be certainly interesting to watch that and see what we can learn.
Cool. So where can folks find out more information? Where can they go to read up on this or apply or any of that good stuff?
Yeah, the main page for, I think all the information is on the association website. So it's assos.drupal.org and then /D8. The number 8, accelerate.
Cool. And we'll put that link in the show notes as well. Any final words? Any last bits of information you want to put out there about this program?
No, just I just want to say thanks to the folks who have supported this program, and I'm really looking forward to hearing ideas from the community on how to make Drupal 8 come out faster and awesomer.
Woo.
Yeah, put your thinking caps on.
Cool. Well, thank you very much. Oh, anything else?
I was just going to say, I also like to wear my patience pants. Those two things go together.
Are those knit or crochet patience pants?
Now I'm sorry I said anything.
No, they're like empty hammer pants. They've got glitter all over them, and yeah.
Yeah, they distract you. That's why you have more patience while you
wear. You're like, well, what was I mad about again? I don't remember.
Glitter solves so many problems.
Ooh, shiny.
Yeah. And causes so many others. Well, on that happy, gleeful note, if you, our valued listeners, have topics you want to hear about on the Drupalize Me podcast, or if you have comments about this podcast or any others, let us know. You can reach us on Twitter at Drupalize Me, on Facebook at facebook.com/DrupalizeMe, or on our website at drupalize.me. Until next time.
Thanks very much. Bye, everybody.